You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly opportunity to catch up with your questions that you send to questions at drhoffman.net. With me today, of course, is Layla Mudin, who is our resident nutritionist, and together we answer your questions. So, what's in our mailbox?
We've got an email, a rather lengthy one from Joseph, but I kind of, melted it down a little bit here. He's asking, are you familiar with Dr. Newbold's approach to diet? And if so, what is your opinion of his approach to diet? Because he treated my father for angina with his diet of meat, no carbs, and many supplements. My father lost weight, felt healthier than ever. I had done the same. However, recently, I broke down and I had a bagel and it was like a junkie putting the needle back in his arm. I started having urges to eat other carbs, and I put a lot of weight back on. And then about 10 years later...
10 years later. Wow.
10 years later, I had a quadruple bypass.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so first part of the question. Early in my career, I do recall a Dr. H.L. Newbold, who was kind of a proto-Atkins. It may be that he... influenced Dr. Atkins because he was one of these kind of cantankerous outlier guys in the 1970s and perhaps before that advocated a high meat, very low carb diet. He also believed in nutritional supplements such as there were in those days. I don't know much more about his program except that it's quite conceivable that this person's father was the beneficiary of a low-carb diet. Yeah. So second part of the question, maybe you can tackle. What happens, when you put a match to gasoline and you're off?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. When you're a carbohydrate junkie, abstinence is key, is absolutely critical. And Joseph, over 10 years ago, I guess, had that bagel and it was like a junkie putting the needle back in his arm. Understood. And so many people can relate. This is very relatable that once you have that slice of bread or that bowl of pasta or that cupcake, whatever that may be for you, it's kind of like turning on a switch. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a drink for an alcoholic or whatever drug of choice by a drug user. All of that. It all gets switched on. And it could be difficult to stop. It's almost the equivalent of eating potato chip. You can't just have one, you want more. And for many people, they don't just want the slice of bread. It's often a gateway to eating a half a loaf or most of that baguette that you just got from the bakery or something, or a big bowl of pasta. It could be tough.
A couple of observations. One is that there is an outfit which is sort of a radical branch of Overeaters Anonymous, which is called Gray Sheet OA. And Gray Sheet OA subscribes to an addiction model based on abstinence from carbs. And their belief is that these deviations from a low-carb diet are the equivalent of an alcoholic walking into a saloon. And that, you need a lot of support. you know, and, you know, kind of on an Alcoholics Anonymous model, you know, my name is Bill, that thing where...
Hi, Bill.
Yeah, hi, Bill. Right. Hi, my name is Bill and I'm an alcoholic. Well, you know, my name is George and I'm a carboholic.
Right.
You know, that they use that kind of model and really, proscribe certain foods. There's literally a gray sheet that tells you what to eat, what not to eat. And, you know, you just got to stay away. And for some people, that's necessary. I mean, for some people, moderation works, right? It really can work.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have a couple of cheat days, you know, going to have some ice cream, you know, have some birthday cake here and there. And, but for some people, that just doesn't work. And it's not everybody's the same.
Let me give this, I think, is a beautiful example that I heard a few months ago. Somebody who, for a pizza pie, right? Somebody, their eyes would, you know, pop out of their head and they're immediately having three or four slices.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the carboholic. As opposed to the person who could do moderation, they would have a slice. And when asked why they're not having more, they would respond, oh, if I ate more than that, I'd feel sick.
Yeah. And that's kind of me, you know, right now, because I've really turned down the volume on my carbohydrate cravings. I mean, I still have them. But, you know, like, you know, I went to a really nice restaurant the other night and I broke form by, you know, having a dessert, you know, and I had a really lovely dessert. It was great. I still remember it. You know, it was beautifully, you know, prepared dessert. And, you know, then other people had a dessert, right? Or we had a little sampling around the table. And that was really great. But, you know, it's not like that is igniting my craving for carbohydrates, you know, and I'm just absolutely off to the races forever. I would point out, here's another thing that I would point out, is sometimes, this is a bit of a pitfall of a, you know, a very low-carb diet that's high in meat and fat, is that diet could work, but it only works so long as you drastically restrict carbohydrates, because after all, you are getting a lot of calories. And, you know, if you learn the lesson that it's okay to eat a lot of fatty meat, and then you say, yeah, but I'll also eat some bagels, that's a real fatal mistake, because,
absolutely,
you know, you got the worst of both worlds. You got a lot of fat and you got a lot of carbs, and that is really a combustible mixture.
Right. Now, of the meat and the bagel versus the bagel, of the two foods, there is one that is quite addicting, which is the bagel, right? Or anybody could eat a sleeve of Oreo cookies, a box of cookies. You can't eat 6 pounds of meat. You'll be sick.
Yeah.
Protein and its inherent fat is self-limiting this way.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
It is. There is this phenomenon where, you know, you have a big steak dinner and it's very low carb. You know, you have like your salad and your green leafy vegetables. And then the dessert cart comes. You could still eat that dessert on top of it. The trick is to avoid adding the carbs, you know.
Right. And here's the thing. When the dessert is coming around, you are no longer hungry. It's simply that it's
gratification.
Simply that you want the dessert.
Yeah, it's gratification. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's nothing to do. It's why people, after dinner, the dishes are done, the dishwasher is loaded, they go sit down, they're watching the evening news or their favorite program, and apparently they need to nibble on something. Well, you just finished dinner. You're full. You're not hungry. So this is the point where you have to become mindful. Why are you nibbling on any food? It could be chips, it could be nuts, it could be anything. But why are you nibbling at all? You're not hungry.
Well, I know why you're nibbling, because of all the food ads that they put on later at night. That's one of the reasons.
That's true, too. Oh, my goodness.
They really, you know, you don't really see like a lot of heavy-duty food ads during the daytime soap operas. You know, they're mostly like kind of nighttime things. And now with the advent of food delivery and DoorDash, it makes them, you know, ever more accessible.
Goodness.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we all, buyer beware, you know, everybody needs to sit down and look inward a little bit. Take your inventory, write things down, decide how far you will go, or what the threshold is. For oftentimes, let me give heroin as an example. They say that you could try heroin now and again, you may not get addicted. That's not true for everybody. However, what I've learned from what I've read is if you do heroin 3 days in a row, you will be addicted.
Yeah, 99%, right? Yep.
Now, if you're going to bring bread in the house or cake in the house and eat it for a couple of days in a row, yeah, you're going to start wanting it from now on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that novel occasion where you were at a restaurant and you had a dessert like mm-hmm. you did the other night.
Exactly.
And you know?
And in a different setting, like in a setting that is yes. not a day-to-day setting, you know, sort of kind of a festive right. setting. So mm-hmm. that sort of sets it apart behaviorally. Yeah. All right. Good stuff.
Yeah.
These questions generate interesting discussions. Is it time, Layla, perhaps to acknowledge one of our sponsors? Okay. So listen up. Here comes a message from one of our sponsors. Whether you're a nutrition enthusiast or simply an individual looking to improve your well-being, check out this comprehensive new course from the American Nutrition Association, Getting Started with Personalized Nutrition. It's a self-paced one-hour course with video, reference sheets, and more, all with the goal of helping you harness the power of personalized nutrition. You'll learn how to optimize your energy levels, support your mental clarity, improve your GI function, enhance your physical performance, and maintain your metabolic health. The course is regularly $49, but as an Intelligent Medicine listener, you can get access to this vital content for just $29. Just go to the ANA.org/Hoffman. That's the ANA.org/Hoffman and use coupon code Hoffman29 for the exclusive discount. The ANA believes personalized nutrition holds the greatest potential to solve the chronic disease epidemic. Just go to the ANA.org/Hoffman and use coupon code Hoffman29 for the Harness the Power of Personalized Nutrition course. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They are what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our questions. Questions come to us, a reminder, questions@drhoffman.net. So what's next?
Okay, we've got an email from Dean. Dr. Hoffman, I take a lot of supplements you recommend. Well, somehow I took the word of Dr. Peter Attia, who touted on a Huberman podcast, Acromantia, which is like the latest, you know, mm-hmm. microbiota or probiotic that's been on the market. I always research a product and its manufacturer before ingesting. However, I took Acromantia, and 1 hour after I took it, I had explosive diarrhea. Well, I found that a lot of users were complaining of the same thing. I've never had a supplement reaction that was this unfavorable. What are your thoughts?
Okay. Acromance, so let's talk about this. So, by the way, I just listened to that self-same podcast. It was very interesting because these are two folks who do independent podcasts, Dr. Peter Attia and Dr. Andrew Huberman. And I find their mm-hmm. podcasts very informative. I don't always agree with them. And, you know, in particular, Peter Attia is just very rigorous on applications of orthodox medicine, and he's really brilliant in terms of his ability to break down and analyze studies. He is a little bit inhospitable, in my opinion, to nutritional supplements. But of interest is in his discussion with Dr. Huberman, he revealed that he is taking Acromantia. Now, I happen to know that in listening to Peter Attia, that on a previous broadcast, he interviewed one of the developers of the Acromantia supplements. And it was a really fascinating podcast. I recommend that they're free podcasts and they're also subscription podcasts. I think there's the free ones are a little more abbreviated than the subscription ones of Peter Attia, but you can actually find the podcast where he discusses Acromantia supplements. It's, you know, spelling is AKKERMANSIA, Acromantia. And this is a species of bacteria that is associated with good health and good metabolism. And The company that makes Hackermanzer, which is called Pendulum, has undergone a very rigorous process to develop what are called anaerobic probiotics, which is very difficult to make because they have to be made in oxygen-deprived conditions without oxygen. So they have to have a plant that is virtually like, you know, like a nuclear reactor behind, you know, plexiglass. They have a oxygen-free environment where they cultivate this stuff because that's what the environment is in the intestine. There's no oxygen deep in within the intestine. So they're, most of the bacteria that are populating our intestine are anaerobic as opposed to aerobic. And so that's the way they make the Ackermansia. And so anyway, so the claim, and they do have some science to back this up, although it's kind of a work in progress because the studies are limited and fairly recent, and that show that by taking Ackermansia, you can improve your blood sugar response. And I guess Peter Attia, who's kind of a hard sell, was sold on this proposition. So now he routinely takes Ackermansia, which was surprising to me because I thought he was a skeptic. And, you know, he doesn't have diabetes, so it's not like taking, he doesn't have metabolic syndrome. He's actually one of the fitter individuals around. So I'm not sure what marginal gains he's achieving by taking Ackermansia, other than that it's thought to be a beneficial species to populate the intestine. So this is an issue, though, because it's different strokes for different folks. And it is actually fairly common for people who take Ackermansia to have gas, bloating, and even diarrhea, because it's a sudden introduction of a new species that kind of sets things roiling and boiling within the intestine. And it can...
changing the ecosystem.
And, and also, the other thing is that I think there is fructose oligosaccharides in some of their formulae, which, by the way, it's a great laxative.
FODMAPs.
Yeah, it's a FODMAP, and it can cause bacterial overgrowth. But it's also a really, FOS is a good laxative for people who lack beneficial bacteria. So it's a prebiotic, and prebiotics, you know, are beneficial. But for people who already have a bacterial overgrowth, they kind of stoke the over-proliferation of bacteria in the intestine. So that may be what's happening to this guy. He's already got borderline SIBO, and that, you know, the Ackermansia plus the FOS, which is from, let's see, it's from, what's the source of the FOS? Chicory.
Oh, inulin.
Which is from chicory, inulin.
Yes.
Which is, inulin is a great laxative and prebiotic, but it's problematic for some people, and they don't tolerate it.
So, can cause a lot of gas and bloating and all of that.
So, you know, you could also try, I think there's some Ackermansia formulas without inulin, but I think most of the ones made by Pendulum. Other companies make Ackermansia formulas, but it's not live. It's like dead Ackermansia, which you may say there's no benefits, but it's claimed that somehow even the dead Ackermansia may confer some benefit, but they don't have that proprietary process where they can culture anaerobic bacteria. Almost all other probiotics are, you know, cultured in an oxygen environment, which means they're aerobic.
Hell.
So I guess, is it safe to assume that Ackermansia is fed by prebiotics? Is there a way to eat?
Yeah, and that's why they formulate it with its own food supply, in effect, with a prebiotic along with it in the capsule.
He was too stout.
So there's some controversy about Ackermansia. Ackermansia is, its species name is Ackermansia mucinophilia, which means that it has a propensity to like to be in a mucus environment, and that it actually subsists on mucus within the intestinal tract. And for some people claim that that is a disadvantage, that it may deplete the mucus layer of the intestinal tract. So it is not a given that Ackermansia is a beneficial thing to take, but it generally, the presence of acromantia, if on a, you know, stool profile, is associated with healthier metabolisms. Now, then the question is, okay, that's association. Do we have intervention studies that show that administering acromantia makes people healthier? I think that's the question.
Okay. So that remains to be seen. That might be, because I've seen lots of stool tests where the tests, and these tests are wonderful, the stool analysis where, well, we see more acromantia and that can be desirable as opposed to other species. I don't remember if that's bacterioides or some other.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
We just haven't cracked the code on this yet. I mean, I think that more studies and maybe the use of machine learning and AI can help us discern what is truly a healthy pattern within our gastrointestinal tracts. But it's not settled science yet.
Internet, can we? Dean, thank you for your very thoughtful question. Okay. Hopefully that diarrhea has cleared. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We've got a question from Caroline. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Having had a stage 1 breast cancer in 2010, I especially enjoyed your interview with Dr. Goldman discussing the Galleri test. And that interview left me with two questions. First, I want to know what percentage of breast cancers are detectable by the Galleri test. And secondly, if that detection percentage is high, then I want to know, can the Galleri test replace the mammogram?
Okay. So,
great question.
This is a question best answered by a representative of Galleri or Dr. Goldman, who is very familiar with it, but I'll take a shot at it. The Galleri test is really, the company that developed it is called Grail, which is kind of a grandiose name for a company, but it is really the holy grail of cancer prevention to develop a test that is a reliable test to tell people whether they have cancer. And, you know, we in that podcast, in a subsequent article, I wrote about the drawbacks of many of the tests that we have, you know, like PSA for prostate cancer and mammograms for women and, you know, CA125 and even pelvic ultrasound for ovarian cancer. And, you know, on and on it goes. It really is hard to predict whether people have cancer. Even, you know, colonoscopies can sometimes miss cancer, or alternatively, you get overdiagnosis with certain things. So the, you know, and people don't want to get colonoscopies because it's inconvenient and uncomfortable. So the ideal thing would be a blood test that is, A, captures all cancers, finds them all, doesn't miss any cancers, because you don't want a test that's like going to, you know, get 80%, but then, you know, you can't depend on it because 20% will not be discovered. But on the other hand, the more you amp up its sensitivity, which is its ability to pick up any kind of cancer, as tiny as it might be anywhere in the body, the more likely it is to throw off false positives. And that's called specificity. So the more you amp up sensitivity, the more you, you know, can undermine specificity to get false positives. And it is conceivable that, you know, we may have very tiny cancers growing in our body that will be inconsequential, but will kill us when we're 142, or that the body will take care of because the body has a surveillance system, and early cancers may be handled or even may regress. So that's the dilemma. Mm-hmm. And Grail is, you know, working on it. And so the other problem is you take a test and it says you have cancer, but where's the cancer? Well, you got to have a full body scan. You have to have every conceivable test under the sun, costing thousands and thousands of dollars and causing you tremendous anxiety and misery, discomfort from
and
the
radiation
testing.
Exposure.
And radiation. Okay, so they partially solve that. And they actually can localize the cancer somewhat. Somewhat. They can tell you if you have a gastrointestinal cancer, but can't tell you, you know, if it's like where the location is. I think they can tell you if you have a breast cancer, prostate cancer, other type, but they can't perfectly localize it. Then you actually have to find the cancer. So that's the problem is, you know, so it's not going to replace mammograms as faulty as mammograms are, because mammograms both pick up things that turn out not to be cancer, and women undergo biopsies unnecessarily and even treatment unnecessarily. Also, mammograms miss cancer sometimes. So, you know, would it be advisable to do a mammogram in conjunction with the Grail? I think that might be, you know, an opportunity for creativity by a cancer screening doctor to see how the Grail test can augment the impressions of other tests. Here's the other thing is like, okay, you've had cancer, so, but you want to know if it's coming back. Can the Grail test or a similar test reveal before it manifests, before it's too late to treat it, the recurrence of cancer? And part of the problem is that the signal from a cancer lingers for a while. They don't even know how long. It might be, you know, 3 months, 6 months, a year. And so if you've had, say, surgery for breast cancer and or radiation or chemotherapy, how long do you have to wait before you repeat the test? And what does a positive result mean? Does it mean it's detecting the old cancer or is it detecting a recurrence?
Oh, wow. And that really muddies the waters.
It does. But these are things that are being worked on. And I think that within the conceivable future, we'll have better, more precise tests and answers to these questions. So, I mean, it's a whole new ballgame. And I think it's exciting. And there's a big trial underway in the NHS, the National Health System in the UK, looking at thousands of people to see whether the Grail test ultimately pays off, because they may look, that's a system that socialized medicine, they really want cost containment. They don't want a test that's just going to generate a lot more expense and not really make a big difference in terms of saving lives. So there, it's a controversial trial. Fortunately, the trial is underwritten by Grail, you know, so it's not the UK taxpayers who are paying for this trial. Yeah. They want to see if it really makes a difference and if it doesn't lead to unnecessary apprehension and expense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it's not economical, how would the National Health Service be able to
bill.
Withstand that? Yep. It will become unsustainable, or how much more?
It's already unsustainable. I mean, it's a system that is kind of like, you know, be careful what you wish for in the United States.
Exactly. True. Wow. Caroline, thank you for these very, very thoughtful questions. Continued good health to you.
Yeah,
wow.
Please refer to my interview with Dr.
Goldman,
Gary Goldman. Right. And also, I wrote an article subsequently in our newsletter, which you can find, I guess it was about 6 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago. Time flies when you're having fun. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
It's a topic that we took up here. And, and you know, I'm excited that listeners are resonating with some of these topics. You know, if you have ideas for topics, please send them to us to questions@drhoffman.net. You won't necessarily read them on the air if you just have a few quick suggestions. But we're always looking for things that you're interested in hearing about that might be of general interest to our audience.
Okay. We've got an email here from Marianne. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, my husband and I have been taking Kyolic Reserve daily, as you recommended, since 2011. Lately, we've been ordering it from Amazon, and it has a horrible garlic stench. What is going on here? I'm worried about the quality and safety of the product.
Exactly.
In addition to being so repulsive smelling.
Yeah, and this is an example of the Wild West that's out there in the Amazon. You know, the Amazon is a big river. It's a big mudding river, and it's got a lot of, you know, tributaries that feed into it. And there's, unfortunately, there's a lot of, you know, dead piranhas in it and, you know, dead you know, feral pigs, and, you know, the metaphor is, I think, appropriate, because they just can't exercise the kind of quality control that an outfit like Fullscript, where we recommend our listeners and patients get their supplements from, because it's fully dedicated to supplements, and that's what they do, and they do it with great exactitude. So, by the way, it's DearHoffmanStore.com to find out about FullScript. So one of two things, either it's actually a counterfeit product because aged garlic extract should have a faint aroma. And just a little background on chiolic aged garlic extract. I knew about chiolic aged garlic extract when I first began practicing in the 1980s. And its claim to fame then was that it was an odorless garlic. And you actually had to be, it wasn't even encapsulated. It came in a little squirt bottle and they gave you like these little 00 capsules and you were supposed to squirt it into the 00 capsules and then take it. I mean, obviously they've improved on the technology now, they encapsulate themselves. But truth be told, it wasn't fully odorless, but it was far deodorized from regular garlic. It had a very faint, flavor, but a distinct flavor. You couldn't say it was odorless. So it should not smell like garlic. So either you've got a counterfeit product where they actually just put some garlic powder in there, which is far cheaper than aged garlic extract, but it doesn't confer the same benefits. Or alternatively, that it's just been, it could have been sitting on the shelves forever. It could have been exposed to extremes of temperature, you know, improperly stored and it spoiled. I wouldn't take it.
It came out of a dumpster.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, there's people shoplift and then they, I mean, shoplifting is a huge problem in resell. Health food stores and then they resell them. And, you know, they may resell them to kind of a renegade site on Amazon where they can list a phenomenal price. So people will say, well, let's get the best price. Oh my God, this is like a phenomenal price, but it's a price that's unrealistic. You know, if something retails for $29.95 and you see it being on sale for $9.99, that's a bit much. That's not credible.
Truly. Marianne, don't order Chiolic Reserve from Amazon.
Go to drhoffman.com and go shop at the store.
Right.
Even go directly to
Chiolic. You know, you can go directly to Chiolic and I think they'll ship products. Or go to a retail store because, you know, I think.
Go to a retail store. Absolutely. People have forgotten how to do retail shopping.
Yeah.
Go to the store. Talk to some people.
No.
Instead of doing it virtually.
Yeah. Get out of the house. Get a life.
Get out of the house. Some sun on your face.
Right. Yeah.
I think we have time for one more question. We're going to be like, this is the bonus question today. He's going to like.
This is the bonus question.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've had candida in the past, and I haven't had any problems lately. I follow a low-sugar diet, but I'm always looking for supplements to keep candida at bay. What do you suggest?
Well, among the things, you know, Podarco tea. There's also
oil of oregano, olive leaf extract.
Even peppermint has some antifungal effects. Berberine has some antifungal effects.
Berberine.
Yep.
Berberine is great.
We like Candibactin, AR, BR. Mm-hmm. We like those.
That's something you find on FullScript, Candibactin, which is a combo formula.
Isn't it?
So it's very important to follow a low shift diet.
I'll also point out that Saccharomyces, which is actually a form of, it's a fungus, it's a yeast.
A former yeast.
But it is a yeast that competes with and suppresses Candida albicans.
Yeah.
So
it's a good yeast, not a bad yeast.
Yeah.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Yeah.
It's a good yeast.
Yeah, just like they're beneficial bacteria and pathogenic bacteria. There are also fungi, which are actually, we have, a microbiome that consists of fungi, bacteria, and viruses that are commensal and natural and part of a beneficial blend.
And mushrooms, which are fungi, and they could be beneficial for immunity.
Yeah.
For example. So there's good fungi or fungi and bad.
But I think diet is very important for Candida.
Very important.
And I think There are people who really benefit from a low-carb diet, and even to the relative exclusion of fruit. I've known women who have a susceptibility to yeast infections, vaginal yeast infections, and summertime, they would have a little more fruit because a lot of fresh fruit was available. Inevitably, they'd get yeast infection. Alcohol is a no-no, because alcohol really promotes the growth of yeast.
Especially beers and wines, because they are more fermented than, say, a clear liquor like a Bockfia.
Right.
For example, we're going to drink on a Candida diet. It would be vodka, vodka soda, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Fermented, aged, pickled, cured foods. You want to stay away from vinegars.
Right.
You want to stay away from other,
because they may cross-react. Because if you have an allergy to yeast, these are yeasty fermented foods that I noticed that I have a bit of a thing on vinegar. That I'll get days of congestion. Oh, certainly from beer. I mean, I like beer, but I like it not right before I have a meal because I know it's going to ruin the meal. My nose is going to get stuffed up. It's going to affect my ability to taste the food because of the yeast content. It's made with, but yeast is an essential ingredient in making beer.
Sure. So other things, stay away from dried fruits as well on a Candida diet, on a yeast-free diet.
You could be on a great diet, but then maybe you've taken a round of antibiotics one reason or another, like a sinus infection, and that could cause Candida overgrowth. It could cause changes in your bowel frequency and all of that, lower belly gas, bloating, maybe eczema, maybe itching. You feel worse on rainy days. You may have itching inside your ears. Things like that. The Candida overgrowth.
For the most part.
And you can clear that up with a yeast-free diet. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's all the time that we have. So I hope you've enjoyed this podcast and that it's provided you with a little bit of diversion. Because for an hour, you've been able to forget about the current political
climate.
Yes, right. And
yes,
unfortunately, once it's over, we'll have to return to nonstop barrage of political ads and arguments on the political front. But hey, it's important. You know, we're shaping the future of the country, so vote with your conscience. We here on Intelligent Medicine welcome all perspectives on politics because, both ends of the spectrum and the folks in the middle, we have listeners of all political stripes and their common interest is in health. So,
there we have it. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and a reminder to all of you, email your questions to questions@drhoffman.net.
Hey, thanks for listening and keep listening to all our podcasts. We've had some great guests recently that I think you'll find very informative. Please send your questions and comments to questions@drhoffman.net. And we'll see you again next week.
Yes, we will.
Thanks, Dr. Lila. Hoffman.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have, and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.
This is Layla Mudin, registered dietitian nutritionist. I maintain a private practice and see patients regularly. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone and telehealth consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.